And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, one of my favorite times of every single week. We do it on Turbo Thursdays. We like to bring in a couple of people who just have proven themselves to be of such value to us that we have to also value their opinions. Don't let it go to their heads. Let me do a roll call real quick. Butters, are you there?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, better than I deserve.
Well, there you have it. All right, then let me just check over here up north of us. Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am.
You are indeed. Good quality. All right, so I pronounce a new round of Butters and Lee. All right, here we go, you guys. You know how it works. I ask questions. We just kind of see what kind of things you think about some things that are out there. Here's my first question. I'm watching the news about the Trump trial, and I got to ask you, if you heard that Hillary Clinton was being indicted, and that the chief witnesses in her criminal trial were going to be a porn star who had already tried to sue her and still owed her a lot of money, and a former disbarred convicted felon lawyer, would you think for a second that she was at risk of being convicted? That's my question, if that was the parameters for her trial. And really, is there a difference between what happens to Democrats legally and what happens to Republicans? So, Lee, you first. What do you think?
I think even a porn star would decline. A. B, no, because had a porn star brought these accusations against Hillary, he, or more likely she, would have been found, I don't know, floating in a pond, had a heart attack, a plane crash. There would have been an unfortunate Arkansas happening to this person long before we'd have ever gotten to this stage of an actual lawsuit.
Lee?
I'm clearly stating that she would have had them whacked. And because there is and yes, 100%, there's a two-tier justice system. And the Biden administration has weaponized the justice system and made a mockery of it, unlike any before. But there's always been a bit of a two-tier justice system. Republicans were always, too hesitant to use it back as a club, whereas the Democrats couldn't wait to use it. So, but now, especially after the January 6th, I feel it's been taken to another level, and it's been used to, I mean, this is direct election interference. And yeah, None of these things are worth their merit. Not a one is going to stand up to appeals. It's embarrassing.
Okay, don't beat around the bush, Lee. Tell us how you feel.
I shall not.
And after some of those comments, I'm going to have to notify the general counsel for Right Side Radio. Oh, wait, that's me.
That's you.
All right, Butters, if you were hearing that Hillary Clinton was facing the same thing that we're watching on news every day, this sordid event called a trial, would you think for a second she was going to be convicted?
I'm not sure. I would agree with Lee that I'd fear for lives. I'm not sure whether I should trust a porn star more than an attorney.
But, oh wait, hang on a second. Now
that's a whole other conversation, I guess.
Are you talking about an attorney, or are you talking about a disbarred convicted felon attorney? There's a difference.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, whole other conversation to be had. Maybe next week.
Wow. We may not be having Butters and Lee next week. So,
the thought that goes through my mind is the question: have things escalated? Have they, the Democrats, have they escalated things so quickly? It kind of, to me, it's, let's see. We'll have to see what happens. The Republicans can take back control. I think it, because that's, you and I have talked about it a lot over the past months of what could happen. Does this open up a door that is unprecedented, that makes it easier, to Lee's point, that makes it easier for the Republicans to step further than they should, in my opinion.
And I'll be honest with you, I think the answer to that depends upon how Trump, I mean, if they are able to convict Trump on some of these incredibly obnoxious charges, I mean, they're really creating novel new theories of law to pursue him in this, what I call lawfare. But if they convict him on these, then I think at that point the Band-Aid has been ripped off, and there's no turning back, because the justice system will have just been so abused that anybody can use it for their own devices because they've set a new precedent. However, if Trump wins on these, I think it restores some semblance of order, and it repudiates that this is a tactic that should be used. That's my thought anyway. Y'all want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we're treading in some really, really dangerous areas that just, you know, uproots the rule of law. And man, I hope it doesn't turn into, well, what we might fear.
Lee, any follow up on that?
I think we can't stand as a republic when our justice system has been made a mockery of, and nobody, you know, when people no longer believe in it. How do we stay a republic that way?
No, exactly,
we're
right.
A banana republic then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're exactly right. We're literally a third world country. And I tell a story once in a while. I won't tell the whole story right now, but about implying that the law mattered when I was in Afghanistan, and having Afghans laugh at me because they didn't understand what the rule of law was, because the rule of law over there was whoever had the biggest hand. And that's all there was to it. All right. Next question before we run out of time. Let me switch gears on you totally. So I've spent some time on the show here talking about the Boy Scouts of America. It's been quite the thing. So the Boy Scouts of America just became super inclusive. They now allow transgenders. They allow girls to be in the Boy Scouts, so much so they decided, as of this week, the declaration has been made that they are changing their name. Boys are completely out of the name now. It's going to be called Scouting USA. Everybody in. Whoever wants to be in can be in. Here's my question for you. You guys are both parents of great kids. Do you think it's important for boys and girls to have time just with members of their own sex? That's my question. You first this time there, dude.
Absolutely. No questions asked. It's ridiculous. It's just so absurd. Now I'm saying that as a young man that, you know, went to an all boys camp up in North Carolina for about 4 or 5 years of my childhood, you know, dropped off and left. I did scouting, didn't go fully down Boy Scouts. I got into JROTC and, kind of more military road, but yeah, I mean, there is a difference between men and women, between boys and girls, period, dot. And, you know, you need to figure those things out as groups. I don't even know why this is a conversation.
That's a great point. It's amazing we have to have this conversation. All right, Lee, weigh in there, Mama Bear. What do you think?
Of course, it's essential for children to have spaces that are girl or boy only. You know, because there's some that just don't want to be in an environment, or may feel too shy, or may feel withdrawn to be in an environment that, you know, wasn't, say, all girl or all boy. I will say this: we have a close friend that's a Eagle Scout. Had to do amazing things to get his Eagle Scout. I'm pretty sure they don't do that sort of thing anymore. The type of trials and tribulations he went through to get his Eagle Scout. And he runs two troops. They have two small kids. And it's a lot of work. They have a hard time finding people willing to put in that amount of work. But he basically says, you know, nowadays you can choose. You need to choose a troop that's mixed or single sex, which I think is better than having it all. But I have a feeling that eventually it's going to move to being, you know, every troop has to have a mixture. And then I think it's going to officially kind of go under, because you can't, having campouts and stuff, maybe when they're little, is okay to be mixed, but when you get above a certain age, it's really unwise. And
unwise.
I just think that unwise, unless you want little scouts to come from those campouts. I think that overall, maybe they had some good intentions in the beginning, and then of course you had all the sex scandals. And then, of course, the Mormons disaffiliated from them, which was their biggest funder, which is, you know, that was going to practically put scouts under, because they had all those payments they had to make from the you know, the sex scandal. And I think that they're just they're looking at it as a revenue. I think they're much more looking at it as revenue instead of, quote, being inclusive, because the Girl Scouts don't do, they don't, literally, when he said they must just be selling cookies, that really is what they're doing. They don't do a lot of worthwhile things. They don't teach them basics. Like this guy that I'm talking about, our good friend, you could drop him into the middle of nowhere, like Naked and Afraid, and this guy would make it. He is that good. Yeah, because he has the, yeah, I'm just saying, he could make it. He could win Survivor. He is that good. So I just say the Girl Scouts don't teach fundamentals of anything anymore. So I think that's, I kind of get why some people may want the girls involved, because, you know, they're actually learning things. But I think essentially the Boy Scouts at their height were what they were because they were this boy organization. And when you lose that, it's going to crumble.
Yeah. So, it, go ahead, bud.
So, I think the real lesson out of all this is that if you want to be left alone and, you know, maintain your brand, you need to develop a line of cookies that are like crack cocaine and get everybody addicted, and they'll, you've got all the leverage.
Listen, man, Thin Mints, you put them in the freezer and they click like, poker chips when you get them out of the, that's just, like,
yeah.
Just I hope Trails USA is listening.
One of the best things that ever happened was a little girl, member of our family, didn't sell all her cookies, and suddenly we had like 30 boxes of Thin Mints in the freezer, and I was a happy man for a long time. By the way, there is a brand new DEI merit badge that you have to get in the Boy Scouts to get your Eagle Scout now. You have to study diversity, equity, and inclusion, and earn the Citizenship and Society merit badge. It's only a couple years old, and if you don't earn it, you can't be an Eagle. That's just... this is where we are. All right, that's round one of Butters and Lee. So we're gonna head to a break right now. We'll take the break. We flip the script. We come back. They ask me questions. I don't even know what we're going to ask me. Just ask me stuff, and I see how we do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Back for round two with Butters and Lee. Hit me some whoop-whoops on that. Give me some Butters and Lee whoop-whoops right there. I like those. Okay, there you go. We're going back to Butters and Lee, and I'm going to say, Lee, you first. What's your question?
Okay, well, the legislative session is ending.
It is.
I believe as today, correct?
That should be, yes.
Yeah, and there was just a number of what I would consider slam dunks, like HB 130, that extended the prohibition of teaching gender identity, HB 385, does the distribution of obscene material, you know, things like that. Those were just left just hanging or didn't even get a committee or dead.
Yeah.
And I just wonder your thoughts on, are people going to reach a point where they've had enough in this state of common sense stuff not passing because of the lack of ability of our leadership in Montgomery to get anything done?
Well, okay, so, you know, I'm not going to excuse them on some stuff, all right? You know, I call them out when I have to. I will say this. With the fact that gambling is apparently not going to pass, although there's always the rumor right now that anything could be brought out to the floor in the final minutes. But it appears that gambling's not going to pass. And then they didn't raise taxes this time. So... because of school choice, because of a few other bills like that, because of tax credits they gave, because of passing budgets that, you know, didn't involve all kinds of massive growth in government, this is looking like it could wind up being a fairly conservative session. Now, they saved it. I think the Senate saved it. The House was like, whatever goes, man. They were like, sling us some stuff. But at the same time, the House passed school choice. I mean, so it was a mixed bag in the House. The Senate helped hold the line, and I'm curious what's going to be at the end of the day. But I think they're about to get out of there before any more damage is done. So will people get tired? Now, listen, you're talking about some social bills. And right. And those social policies, there was one that I was really keen on. I'm not sure where it is right now. I heard it was going to come to the floor today, but that was House Bill 167 that, you know, turns the porn filter on phones so that kids can't accidentally stumble onto porn on their smartphones. And it's simple. It's talking about low-hanging fruit. But what's it going to take? What's it going to take is for people to actually get active. 2010 was the last time I saw real populist movement in statewide elections, and it was galvanizing. I was a part of it. It was the Tea Party wave. It was the throw the Democrats out of control after 136 years. It was most organized I've ever seen the state party, and it was amazing. And I have not seen that level of organization. It's going to take that again to unseat some of the people who have gotten entrenched over the last 8 years. There, that's my thought.
Well, we need it.
I would agree. And I think they're going to have to start with some one-offs. I don't know if you're going to see a wave right now, but I think there's some people that deserve to be primaried after some of what they pulled. Like the folks that just push for the gambling, nothing else mattered. I mean, primary the crap out of them. Anyway,
so Phil,
yeah, man, what you got?
Is it going to be harder to get to get that momentum, the Tea Party type momentum? I mean, is there a lot of folks that are like, well, we made some efforts and now maybe it's not worth it after all?
Well, you're not tied to a presidential. So when a lot of these folks are going to come back up for their reelection, it's going to be during the gubernatorial year. The presidential election right now, if Trump was on the ballot right now and we had a populist wave within the state looking for more conservative values, I would say there are some folks that would get primaried in a heartbeat. We're going to have to wait and see what they are like in 2 years. There's always the rumor, I'll just tell you right now, there's always the rumor, and I heard it again today, that Governor Ivey may retire very soon in midstream, and next thing you know, Ainsworth's going to be governor, and he's going to have incumbency when he runs, you know, in 2 years. That's speculation, but it's always out there. So I don't know, man. I don't see a wave right now. I don't see a wave right now, but I do see some enclaves of hope. Like when I see you guys doing Moms for Liberty in Madison County in a big way and making a difference, I think some Madison County centrists had better be worried because they may get primaried and have momentum behind it.
Yeah, they better be.
But I don't think.
And we're going to move on to other places, too. We're going to have some, you know, other seed planting.
Preach it, sister.
By golly, we're coming for you. I'm going to run out of time real quick. Butters, you got a quick question for me?
So, international war crimes.
Oh, you can, what's a switch? Okay, international war crimes.
Yeah. So this discussion of them going after Netanyahu and all that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm a little more clued in because I've spent time in places where we had to think about things like war crimes. How does that even work?
Like, it doesn't. The International Criminal Court is not going to walk in the door and serve a warrant on Netanyahu in the prime minister's, you know, offices in Jerusalem and say, come with us, please. And that's not going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, the Israeli people right now, they'd be incensed, and their response would be like, you know, you can have our Netanyahu from our cold, dead fingers. But I just really think this is almost farcical. The International Criminal Court, I think, first of all, you have to be a nation that has agreed to take part and consider it jurisdictional. And then you also have to be able to, you have jurisdiction, and there has to be an indictment, and there has to also, by the way, be an opportunity for fair and adequate representation. And I just don't see it happening. I think it's one of those international feel-good things that people who believe the UN is an effective organization really believe it matters. So,
well, and I guess you also have to have somebody that would actually go in there and get them.
Yeah, indeed. All right, the music's playing. You guys, I appreciate you. Butters and Lee, have a great week. We'll see you next time. All right, coming up next, I've got a special call in from a guy named Cliff Sims. You're going to want to hear this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.